Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Significant Leader webinar. If you don't know me, my name is Michael Graff. I am the director of the Significant Church Network. I work under my dad, Pastor Jim Graff, who normally hosts these webinars, but he is getting ready for next week. We have a leadership retreat happening, our annual leadership retreat, and we are so excited, man. It is booked up, and we are excited to spend time with many of you I know who are watching who are going to be there. I know I always leave so encouraged and refreshed. I get to have my brother Jeffrey on with us today.
Good to be with you guys.
Yes, it's going to be a good time. So anyway, yeah, we're so excited about the retreat. It's always a good time, right? We leave with
for sure
stronger relationships, new relationships, just encouraged and inspired to take on the year. So hope you're planning to join us. If you forgot to sign up and you were coming, we might have a few spots if you go to our website. But like I said, it's filled up this year, which is exciting. So, but we'll make sure you can make it. So we'd love to have you. I'm really excited about today's topic. We're talking about developing biblical literacy.
There
you go.
Here it is.
Within your church. And so I'm so excited to dive in. I'm so excited, like I said, to have my brother, Pastor G, on with us today. He has been our next generation pastor here at Faith Family Church for the past four going on 5 years, and now he is our family ministries pastor. But beyond that, I'm so proud of him because I know this is just a topic that's really near and dear to his heart and has been for a long time. In fact, he went to college at Oral Roberts University, and he got his bachelor's degree in biblical literature, and then he went to Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California, and got his master's in divinity. So this is something that he has invested himself into. I know that he really cares a lot about helping people know and understand the Bible. G, why don't you introduce yourself, maybe talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, your introduction to me was so good.
Yeah,
thank you.
I could say more.
First of all, I'm super honored to be here. Like he said, I have a history kind of diving into developing biblical literacy, which is ironic, because truthfully, that didn't start till I was like 17. Mm. I hated reading my Bible before that, which is not good to admit, but our parents would always ask us every morning, "Did you read the Bible?" And they tried, like good parents, you know, when you get the picture Bible and then you graduate to like the kid Bible and then they get you like the teen Bible. I had a teen Bible that had like all the grossest facts in the Bible. I found it the other day. It's pretty cool. It really moved me. Just kidding.
Now you finally understand.
I'm like, get it. But anyway, I did not like reading the Bible, but I remember my mom gave me this NLT Life Application Study Bible. It's actually this same one. I brought it just for fun. You could tell it's pretty old. But this Bible like just came to life for me. And I remember just being so enamored by the Word of God. I couldn't put it down. Mm. And I remember when I was 17, I was reading Matthew 8. And I'm sure you've heard the story. The centurion goes to Jesus, asks if Jesus could heal his servant. And Jesus is like, yeah, you know, let's go. Let's go to the house, heal your servant. And the centurion, he was like, no, I know how authority works. He said, you just send your word and my servant will be healed. And, you know, Jesus is like, I've never seen faith like this. And so, of course, Jesus sends his word. And the Spirit of God goes, heals the servant. And there's not many times that I could say like, oh, God talked to me. But I remember being 17 years old and God spoke to me in my room that moment reading that story. And he said, my word activates my spirit. So if you want to see an outpouring of my spirit, you need to go learn my word.
Yeah.
And because of that word at 17, that's when I started, you know, like he said, I went to ORU. Then I got my master's divinity at Fuller. And I love it. So all that to say, I love promoting biblical literacy because the Bible truly can change our lives.
Right. And I think, man, that highlights how important this topic we're talking about today is. I think we'd be surprised how little some people know about the Bible.
For
sure. How surface their knowledge is. And so we're going to talk about how we equip people to get beyond that. Before we do, I want to do something we do every webinar. I want to welcome all of our new members to the Significant Church Network. And we have people just jumping on all the time, and we're so honored to be able to serve and partner with you. So let's give some shout-outs. They're going to put them up on the screen. We have George Balderrama from City Reach Church in Bosque Farms, New Mexico. We have William Harris from Isaiah 58:12 Ministries in St. Louis, Missouri. We have Jeffrey Hurd from First Faith Baptist Church in Hazel Green, Alabama. Archie Keith from Silo Temple Nations Church in Durham, North Carolina. David Mahon from King's Tabernacle, no, King's Table Ministry Center in Harvest, Alabama. Darian McCoy, 12 Disciples Baptist Church, Columbus, Georgia. We have Henry Minter from Saving Grace Ministries in Selma, Alabama. We have Kevin Moss from Antioch Fellowship Baptist Church, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Alan Mushigan from Full Turn Church, Hiram, Georgia. We have Chad Price, The Torch, Demarest, Georgia. We have Zachary Thomason from First Pentecostal Holiness Church in Easley, South Carolina. Scott Weatherford, we know him from Fellowship of the Crossroads in Victoria, Texas. Hey, look at that. And then we have, you want to read that one? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sure. Thomas Johnson?
Yeah.
That's hard to
read. Dajinas Valverde, maybe? New Life Peru. Peru in the house. Welcome.
Peru.
Lima, Peru. And then we have Emmanuel Vasudevan from Hosanna Assembly, Malacca, Malaysia. We are so honored to have you guys as part of the Significant Church Network family. Welcome. Like I said, we're honored to be able to serve you. We look forward to being able to serve you in any way that we can and appreciate all that you're doing for God and for His kingdom. We appreciate you. Okay, one more thing.
Yeah.
I want to give a partner shout out.
Yeah.
To Pastors Don and Jessamy Duncan.
Woo!
From Tree of Life Church in New Braunfels.
We like to do Pastor Don.
Yeah, we love those guys. We like to do partner shout outs as well. They are state representatives in our network. Excuse me. And we love them. They're doing a great work for the Lord in New Braunfels, Texas, which is a couple hours from us. So we actually have a really good relationship with them because we get to do our exchanges together a couple times a year. We come together. They have an amazing church, an amazing staff. They're just amazing pastors. They carry such a spirit of excellence and also just such a, you know, a pastoral heart and a shepherding like heart. And the community there is just so, so beautiful.
Every time you're with them, you feel way warmer and better about yourself.
That's
to the Duncans, we love y'all.
Yes, and he's been there for a long time. He's actually pastored the church for over 20 years now. And so shout out to you guys. We love you. And I know we'll be seeing you next week at the retreat. So we can't wait for that. All right, well, let's jump in. How to develop biblical literacy within our church. Gee, we talked a little bit about why it's so important. And I know you have some really good thoughts as to how to do this. You want to jump in?
Yeah, let's do it. I want to first say, though, please know I do not think I know everything. I know that I don't know everything. But if this can help somebody, then I'm glad. I kind of narrowed it down in three ways, and they all end with an S. So here's how we develop biblical literacy throughout the church. I think, first of all, we really got to take serious the sermons that we teach, the resources that we supply, and then third, cultivating safe space. So I'll just go through and talk about those one by one, starting with how we teach sermons. I think when I realized there were periods of Christianity where people didn't have access to Bibles. The Bible wasn't even in their language, so they couldn't read it. And all they had to go on for their faith was somebody else teaching it. And yet, I believe that even in those periods of Christianity, God still guided and helped grow those people through the preaching of the word, though they could not read it. I'm a huge believer that we help people learn to read the Bible and all that stuff. But I also think that we should never underestimate what good teaching can bring. Good sermons can develop people so well. So our preparation of sermons really matters. So here's what I want to do. I don't know. I think this is mostly pastors watching a lot of times, right?
Yep.
People who probably
or staff.
Yeah, either way, people who probably preach. And so I use like four lenses to make sure I'm looking through when I'm preparing my sermon. So I'm just going to share them. If they help, good. If not, man, share what you do with me because I'm sure I could use it. But under the sermons we preach, here's the first lens we always consider. First of all, we consider history and culture. It's been said that there's no way to know what the Bible means to us if we don't first know, you know, what it meant to them. My father-in-law said, he was actually one of my New Testament professors in college. He said, we have to know the history and culture so well that we can slip into the sandals of the original readers, but then put legs on the text so you could walk it over to the people you're talking to today. So whether or not you understand the history and culture correctly can make a really good sermon or, you know, a not so good sermon.
Yeah.
And I think we've all, you know, probably seen both. Let's have some fun just with a little example I saw not long ago. I was on Instagram, first mistake, and I saw this post about how Jesus really was against women. And I know I shouldn't have clicked it, but I was clickbait and I clicked it and I was just reading all this stuff and it was making Jesus seem like so against women. And I was sitting there with, you know, my brain and what I've studied, and I'm thinking like, man, they really don't understand the culture of the Bible at all. Meaning this, there are so many times you read and, you know, Mary and Martha, they're sitting at Jesus' feet or something like that, right?
Right.
Okay, you read that and like, yeah, whatever. Well, in that culture, in that period of history, to sit at somebody's feet literally meant they were a disciple. Not only that, but it meant that they'd be commissioned to do whatever a normal disciple would do.
Right.
So for Jesus to allow women to sit at his feet and be disciples, no other rabbi, like, that was unheard of. And I'm sitting here thinking this angry Instagram post could completely go away or could be disproven if somebody would just help them understand the history and the culture. But we get to do that when we preach. We get to view that first lens of history and culture and really make the Bible come to life to us when we know what it meant for them. So that's the first lens. The second lens, I'll do this one really quick, but it's always good to have that lens in your eye looking for any keywords. Mm. Keywords. Are these on the screen? I think they are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. So keywords. When the Bible repeats things over and over, man, that's like when we start paying attention to it. And a lot of times you can figure out like what a keyword really means in Greek or in Hebrew. There's amazing tools for that because sometimes the semantics don't translate. Anyway, I'll move on. The third lens we should be thinking through when we're preparing our sermon is the genre. It's so easy to forget that the Bible's not just one big book, right? It's 66. I should know
right.
that. 66 books, little books. And they all have different genres. Now, the reason I bring it up is because the genre of anything, whether it's the genre of a movie, the genre of music, it lets you know what to expect before you enter into it.
Right.
So if I'm like, hey, let's go listen to some jazz music, you know what to expect. Or
right.
I just thought of this, but do you remember Marley and Me, that movie?
Oh, so sad.
Yes.
That's what threw me off, though. I thought it was going to be funny.
Exactly what I'm saying. So it's Owen Wilson, so you're like, oh, it's probably going to be funny. And then the dog's dead, and you're like, what the heck am I watching? I'm supposed to laugh. But we do this with the Bible. When we don't understand the genre, we'll start approaching it in a way that is not really helping us receive what's really going on. So, for instance, if you saw a political cartoon, right? And on the political cartoon, it was like President Trump on an elephant holding a shotgun riding into Washington, D.C. You'd look at it and you'd be like, okay, someone's, you know, trying to make a point, have fun.
Right.
Okay, but if you went home, you turned on the TV, Fox, CNN, whatever you watch, and then it was like a headline, President Trump rides into, you would be like, oh my goodness, what's going on? But how you take those drastically depends on the genre that it is. So the Bible has so many different genres, and it's good for us to read about. I like to read about the book I'm about to preach from before I start studying the specific text. And the reason is because, you know, if it's a letter, okay, we're probably going to take it pretty literally. If it's something more like, you know, apocalyptic or poetic, and it's probably going to have a lot of symbolism, a lot of, you know, literary devices that we need to look at.
Right.
And I think we've all seen people take something in the Bible very literally, and we're like, ah, man, I don't think that's supposed to be a literal thing. Flip side is you see people making things very metaphorical.
Right.
And it's like, no, like, that was very serious. Exactly.
Yeah.
So four lenses, history and culture, keywords, genre, and then fourth, just very important, is just devotional purposes. And I put that in there. Maybe it seems like a no-brainer, but at least, you know, when I'm studying, I got to remember sometimes that, hey, dude, does it pass the who cares test? Like,
Yeah.
Like, we're not just trying to be scholars here and impress people with knowledge. You know, that's not the point. we should always get to a place of devotion to God at the end of whatever sermon we're preaching. I remember in sermon prep classes, there was like four little questions we'd always have to fill out before we were done. And the last one was always, what does this passage tell me about God and how to be more faithfully part of his people? And if we couldn't answer that question well, then it was like, what am I even talking about? Because if I'm not helping people be closer to God and be more faithful to be part of his people, that's the whole point. So after you consider the history, culture, keywords, genre, man, consider the devotional aspect. Is it moving people closer to God? So that's first good. Point. I know it had four little sub-points, but that's the first point, developing biblical literacy. I believe that more is caught than taught. So yeah. When they're consistently hearing good teaching, it helps them know how to go home. Mm. And sometimes just by seeing someone else do it, you get better at reading it yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we do that with prayer too. You know, like we have that moment in service where we pray over, you know, needs that are brought in from our church family. And one thing Pastor Jim's really coached us on is like, hey, this is an opportunity to exemplify like how to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we, sometimes it's hard because you get some of these things, you're like, man, how am I going to pray for this? Mm-hmm. You know, you pray scripture, you find ways to do it. But as we're exemplifying that, people learn that. It's the same thing with the Bible, mm-hmm. you know, when we teach it right. And, you know, I love this because we've had a lot of conversations on this in the past, especially when you were in seminary. Mm-hmm. And anytime we would have conversations, it would kind of send me down a path of wanting to explore mm-hmm. this more, right? Mm-hmm. Like to dive in deeper to the writers and to the books and to the genre and all these things. And every time I've done that, I find that it opens up the Bible so much.
Yeah.
Like there's already so much truth at first glance, right? There's already so much truth. But I've had so many aha moments whenever I'm studying from this perspective and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's what that mm-hmm. means, or oh, that clicks. And it just opens so much more of the Bible. And so, yeah.
Two sayings that you can steal. My father-in-law always tells me, the Bible's shallow enough for a mouse to stand in, but it's deep enough for an elephant to drown in. Mm. And I think the more you kind of dive in through those lenses, it gets deeper and deeper. But even if you're just helping somebody take it home and read it, you know, from what they can understand, then it's still, you know, shallow enough for a baby believer to get fed to where they keep getting deeper. Another saying you could steal. I love this one. I used to have a professor that said, whatever you do, do not make the Bible boring. And he said in his class, he said, you're going to get bad marks if I'm bored, because I'd rather hear bad preaching than boring preaching. And I always like that, because when you dig in, it is good. But anyway, that's just the sermons we teach. Yeah. The second thing I think that's helpful to talk about is the resources we supply. Now, I want to just throw out a few things I've seen that I think have worked, because I think as a pastor, really, even if you're just trying to get your friend to read the Bible, I think we've all done this thing where it's like, yeah, dude, just go try to read the Bible. And then they start and they're like, I'm confused. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even, you know, I always recommend starting in the Gospels, but even then sometimes it's confusing. So I kind of have three little resources that may be helpful to you, maybe not, when it comes to the resources that we supply. The first one's kind of obvious, but the Bible app, I think actually Life Church develops that. I don't know though, but
someone from Life Church, I think,
started it or something.
Yeah. Like that.
So they have devotionals on there, and this is really good for baby believers, especially like I'm a youth pastor. I'll do this with kids all the time. You can go to the Bible app, and then you could click devotionals, and you can just in the search bar type anything that you're dealing with, whether it be, you know, fear, insecurity, addiction, whatever. And all of these plans will come up. And these plans are basically a couple scriptures and then somebody explaining it. Usually they'll give you a prayer to pray. Now, for like somebody that's not a baby Christian, it's probably not the best resource, but there's a lot of baby Christians in church. And if nothing else, it gets them in the habit of every day reading something that has scripture in it. And then getting their mind thinking, okay, what does this mean?
Right.
So for like base level, I always start there. And then when people, you know, start to get more questions that they're asking, I recommend a good study Bible, because there's some really good. This is the one that my mom bought me. You probably can't see it, but if you can, it has like, you know, the scripture, but then it has all these notes on different verses and themes of the book. You could just dive in. And whenever you like have somebody that's maybe like at the medium level or whatever, this, it's so helpful. I cannot tell you how many people have come to me like, thank you for recommending that Bible. I can't put it down. And really, it's just the one that my mom gave me. So thank you, Mom, for giving it to me. But it's so good. It's a way to get you diving into those lenses I just talked about before you even necessarily know you should be diving into them. And it makes the Word of God come to life. I brought this other Bible. My team actually bought it for me for Christmas. They all signed it. It's kind of cool. But it's called the Filament Bible. It's a new Bible, and it's not very expensive. This Bible's a little more expensive because it's just so much paper. But this Bible, basically, at the top, it almost has like a QR code type for every single page. And then you scan it with their app. The app's free. The Bible costs like $30. The app is free. And then for every verse in every book, there's study notes. There's, hey, read about this theme. So maybe it's like the Holy Spirit, and it's like, read about this theme. There's so much. There's maps. There's cross references, characters. Yeah, so it's so cool. And then lastly, I would say like at the probably the deepest level or whatever, I like to use Blue Letter Bible. It's a website, blueletterbible.com, but I just always will Google Blue Letter Bible Study Guide, and it'll always come up for every book of the Bible, a study guide by David Guzik. And I'll recommend that to people who like are really like trying to sermon prep. It's a pretty like easy sermon prep resource, but it's pretty good, and it's free, and it's available to anybody who has internet access, which is pretty much anybody in many places in the world. So Blue Letter Bible Study Guide, it'll be by David Guzik, and I think you can even recommend that to certain people in your church too. And it's just all about, okay, help me understand that day and what it meant to them, so I know what it can mean to me more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I love about that is we're not just focusing on being great Bible teachers, which is important, but we're talking about developing or focusing on developing great Bible readers.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. You know, we want to be great Bible teachers, of course, but it's that whole teach a man to fish principle, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. you can feed them. You know, you can cook them a fish and feed them once, right? We can feed them once a week, which is important. You know, it's important that people come and hear somebody who's called and anointed to teach the Bible mm-hmm. and who's, you know, all that, who's a little further ahead of where they're at, you know, as you know, Bible readers and things. But we also want to empower them to be, man, feeding on the Word of God every day, right? Like that's so important too. So that's what I love about this is we're not just teaching them, we're not just feeding them on the weekend. We're teaching them how to really learn how to, you know, feed on the Word of God every day, you know, every day of the week. And so I think these resources are great. So I think basically what I'm hearing you, number one is how we do it from the platform, right? Mm-hmm. How we teach, how we exemplify that, how we get people thinking the way that we know we should be thinking about the genre of this text, the writer of this text, the time period and the history, the culture. People will start to catch on with that. The second thing, here are some resources that will help you grow so that you're not just sitting at home reading the Bible. You know, some people have read it through 10 times and it's just been the same thing every time because they don't really know how to grow in that area. So here's some ways that you can grow and read the Bible better. What's the third one?
Yeah. So we got how we teach sermons, resources we supply, and then lastly, cultivating safe space. What I mean by this is it's so good to ask intentionally, what spaces are we cultivating for people to talk? Because in seminary, I'll never forget, we had this professor, and the first thing he did was he said, let me tell you about two different styles of learning. He said, there's teacher-centered and there's learner-centered. And he said, teacher-centered is me standing here, talking to you, downloading information. And he, you know, he made a joke. He's like, obviously, I'm going to do that because that's what you paid for, right? He said, but, you know, at least once a week, our class is going to be learner-centered. And he said, there's a lot of research and a lot of evidence that people learn best not just hearing somebody talk from a stage or a podium, but talking and processing and dialoguing together around a table.
Yeah.
And he said, you have to have both. So I remember I learned so much in this class. And sometimes it was from the guy on the stage, but sometimes it was just me and my buddies trying to chew on something that we didn't understand. And eventually we'd come to some conclusion. Some of my greatest breakthroughs with the Word of God didn't happen from somebody telling me something from a stage, but happened from me discussing it with some friends around a table. And so I just think that at some point, you know, we should take it very seriously to have some sort of way of measuring how are our people getting around tables to talk about this stuff with other believers. I know a lot of us do it through small groups, but it's just, I'll tell one fun story. There was this professor, he was like a legend. He's amazing. And he was talking about something and I don't remember what it was, but he was talking about something and I was just like, really, I didn't agree with him. But I was scared to not agree with him because he's like such a decorated professor. And so I finally just raised my hand and I asked him a question, basically like, can you explain it in light of this? And he sat there for about 5-10 seconds of just silence. And he looked at me and he said, you know, in 30 some years, I don't think I've been stumped. He said, but I really don't know how to answer that question. And then, but he was so cool. He said, in fact, how about tomorrow you and I, let's go to dinner. Let's, you know, go sit around the table and let's just talk it out. And I'll never forget, the next day he took me to dinner. We talked about it and we like had this really cool conclusion, really awesome thing. But it was both learner-centered and teacher-centered. And so I think we have to think very, very carefully about what spaces are we creating for that to happen within our church.
That's good. You know, a few webinars ago we had Joe Kim and Eddie Jr. on and we were talking about millennials and Gen Z in the church. And we just were talking about how important it is to have places to process and ask questions. And really this is for any generation, but people are going to ask questions. They're going to process stuff. And the question is, do we want them asking these questions? Do we want them processing these things out in the world where we clearly see a lot of confusion, where we clearly see, you know, a lot of the wrong answers, or do we want them to be able to process these here in the church? And if the answer is the latter, then we have to understand that that won't happen if people feel judged or shut down, or if people have a tough time finding a place where they can process and ask these questions. But if we create space and an environment where people can ask questions, where people feel like they can process, well, you know, we know the truth, and we can help introduce them to the truth. And not only that, John 16:13, right? The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. So if we want people in an environment like church, you know, we have to understand they will ask questions. They will process things. But man, what better place than a church to do that? And obviously, what you're talking about is creating space for that, right? You don't want that. You don't want people standing up Sunday and asking questions, you know? But like there has to be those spaces where people feel like, listen, even though I don't have it all figured out yet, even though I'm figuring it out, I want to be there. I want to be processing it with
you. And
these
it's
people.
Okay to be wrong. Like if you had a view and it wasn't right, that's fine. Like all of us are wrong, but some of us admit it. You know what I mean? There's stuff that in everybody's theology that we see one way, and it's like, you know what, I bet you if some expert came in, my view would have to change a little bit. And so I think sometimes keeping it all into ourselves doesn't just enable us from learning in the future, but it even keeps us hanging on to stuff that might not be accurate, that we already believe in the present. And I know that happened for me a lot. So the safe space is, I say safe space on purpose, not just space, but safe space. Somebody says something crazy, you can lovingly be like, I don't know, because have you thought about this? And they're like, oh, yeah. And
I equated it to my kids, right? You know, Copeland and Cece, they're 3 and 2.
They're awesome.
Like how I, the way that I steward my conversations with them and create environments like the dinner table or wherever it is where they can process things as they get older. Right now, it's very simple, surface level stuff, right? But as they get older, that's going to be such an important aspect of my ability to speak into their lives and continue to help develop them. If I shut them down, if I neglect that opportunity, if I just want to talk to them all the time but not listen, they're going to go talk to other people, and I'm going to lose the opportunity to really speak into their lives. And so I think as a church, we just want to be conscious of that, that we create space where people feel like they can process and think and learn and grow.
Absolutely.
So I think that's
so
good.
I would love to be a fly on the wall with you and Copeland's conversation.
Right now it's a lot of really silly things. He's 3 years old and Cece's two. That's getting pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
So, well, quickly, let's recap the three things that we talked about.
So
today.
Basically, how are we developing biblical literacy throughout our church? My humble opinion, I'm sure you have other ways, but three ways that I've come up with are how we teach sermons, the resources we supply, and then cultivating safe space. And I think if we can do those three things, then people will really start to grow and develop at a really high level.
That's good. Well, before we go, we have some questions and answers.
Sweet.
I'm just going to ask this one right here because I think that's good. You mentioned this already, actually. They were asking about any books or any kind of resources to help with the topic. Why don't you maybe recap some of the resources that you already talked about in case anyone wants to make a note of that or write it down?
Absolutely. So the first resource I talked about was, this is more so for other people. Let me break it down for other people and then for pastors. Can I do that?
Yeah, that's great.
So for other people, right, the Bible app has some good devotionals for baby Christians just to get them started. It'll give them scripture, prayers, stuff like that. It just helps them. Some people, man, you dig into their life and you realize, like, no wonder you don't know where to start. You weren't raised hearing all this stuff, you know, right. And they need that simplicity. And then, like, that middle ground, it's good for pastors, it's good for normal people, it's just study Bibles. This is the NLT Life Application Study Bible. This is something called the Filament Bible. It's new. It's, like, pretty cheap, but it has this, you know, app that you scan, and it pulls up so much content. I've been using it a lot for sermon prep. Mm-hmm. And then blueletterbible.com as well. For pastors in particular, when you're looking for resources to use, man, there's so many commentaries. But a website I'd encourage you to check out, it's called bestcommentaries.com. It's pretty easy to remember. And you can look at, you know, best commentary sets, or if you're just like, I'm preaching on the book of James this month and I want to get a good commentary on the book of James, it will, you know, give you all these different ones, but for each commentary, it will rank it in different categories. So it'll be like, this one is primarily pastoral, or this one is very devotional, this one is very technical, this one is very, so like technical would probably be something you'd use, you know, I use a couple technical commentaries, but if you have no training in languages, or they're usually for people who are doing studies and like PhD stuff, but like the pastoral ones and the devotional ones, that website is so helpful for you to know what kind of commentaries you could get to start really reading resources that'll help you learn the Bible better. So you're feeding your sheep something they're not going to get from any of the resources I just mentioned before that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, bestcommentaries.com.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor G.
This was fun.
Funny calling you that, Pastor G.
Yeah, you call me Jeffrey. We're brothers.
Dude, thank you so much for joining us, man. Proud of you and just watching this journey that you've been on these last several years. And thank you for sharing that with all of us who have the opportunity to preach and to share and to help develop people. This is such an important topic, and I know that I'm thankful, and a lot of us were thankful that we tuned in today. We have our significant leaders retreat next week, which we talked about. We cannot wait. Pastor Jim is preparing for that, like I said earlier. And then we'll be back the following week with our next webinar. We're going to be talking about how to see your church with a fresh set of eyes. Fresh set of eyes. So should be an interesting topic. It's very easy to kind of just get caught up in the bubble of your church. So what are some ways that we can kind of get outside of that and see our church fresh? So we're looking forward to that. So that's not next Thursday, but the following. And we hope you'll come back and join us. As a reminder, these are always up later on our website as well as our YouTube channel. So if there's anyone you could think who might benefit from hearing what was talked about today, make sure you share it with them. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. We appreciate you so much. Keep on serving God. Keep on doing what you're doing. You are significant. It's in our name. We love and appreciate you all. Have a great rest of your day.
See you guys.